32nd Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. The first reading from the first book of Kings. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cup of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and she and her son ate well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold to Elijah. The second reading from the letter to the Hebrew, chapter 9, verse 24-28. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest entered each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he had appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Thus, it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this, the judgment. So also Christ offered one to take away the sins of many, who appear at a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. The Gospel from Mark chapter 12, verse 38-44. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Be aware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and at the pretext recite plenty prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins, worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, Amen, I say to you. Did poor Guido put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury? For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth. But she, from her poverty, had contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. Sharing the theme, God demands us to sacrifice our whole life to serve Him and others. Today, many people are afraid to sacrifice because it affects their body, their will, and leisure time. But if all people are afraid and live selfishly, how can this world be maintained? Not mentioning how to improve individual and social life. The true love demands one to sacrifice all he had, not giving only his surplus. People can only evaluate a person's sacrifice by outside material, but God evaluates him by his inside intention. That are his faith and love for God and others. The most perfect sacrifice a person can offer is his own life, as Jesus said, no one had greater love than this, to lay down one life for one friend. John chapter 15, verse 13. Today's reading emphasizes heroic sacrifices of lofty souls. Even they must sacrifice their own life. In the first reading, the author reported the faith and sacrifice of a Gentile widow at Zarepta. She courageously sacrificed her last handful flour and few drops of oil to make a last cake for Prophet Elijah, her son. Though she knew that after eating this last cake, she and her son could be dying due to hunger. The wonderful effect of her faith in the prophet's word is she and her son have flour and oil to live until the day when God makes rain falling on the earth again. In the second reading, due to Jesus' precious sacrifice, in which he poured out his blood on the cross, people are purified from their sin and live eternally. In the gospel, Jesus teaches his disciples to have a divine eye to evaluate rightly human acts. The worldly people are easily deceived by showy and outside acts. But Jesus' disciples must see deeply and evaluate according to inside intention, though the outside acts seem to be normal and base acts. Analysis. The first reading. Charity required one must sacrifice, even confronting the dead. First point. God's wonderful providence for the prophet Elijah. To really understand today's passage, one needs to read the whole chapter 17 of the first book of Kings. God let the drought to happen, during which there is no rain nor dew falling down in Israel for 3 years, because the king and the Israelites forfeited God and worshipped idols and acted according to their own ways. Only Elijah was commanded by God to move to a valley so that he can drink water from a fall and have food from ravens. When the fall was dried up, God told him to come to Zarephath, a Gentile town, to be fed by a widow. He stood up and went to Zarephath. When he came to the city gate, he saw a widow who was collecting dry branches. He called her and said, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it. He called her again and said, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jugs. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and repair something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Second point, the widow faith in Prophet Elijah was: nothing is more terrible than hungry. Many people still remember the dreadful famine which happened in Vietnam from October 1944 to late 1945. There are about from 700,000 to 2 million deaths from this famine. No one wants to give because they must take care of their family. This widow was put in a very difficult situation because the prophet's request affect her and her son's life. First, the prophet Elijah's reaction. Elijah, clearly knowing of God's power and of her terrible situation, still said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can repair something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" Second, the Zarephath widow reaction. Her reaction is a heroic act because her deep faith in the prophet, because she did not know God's plan as prophet Isaiah. She left and did as Elijah said, though she knew that both she and her son could be dying of hunger after that. God always tests and rewards those who believe in him and help others. The author reported the happy ending. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold to Elijah. Moreover, God also revived her son, though to Elijah prayed, after he was already dead. Second reading. Christ sacrificially poured out his blood to redeem people. Third point, Christ's unique sacrifice. The author of the letter to the Hebrew compared Christ's sacrifice on Calvary with the high priest sacrifice every year in the Holy of the Holy in the Day of Atonement, and recognize the following differences. First, the places are different. He writes, "Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hand, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf." The most holy place which Jesus entered is no longer the Jerusalem temple, but the heavens were the sacred place of God. Second point. Christ's sacrifice happened only once on Mount Calvary, but its effect is eternal. The author writes, not that he might offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enter each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he had appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. The animal's blood can only take away the lesser sin and must be repeated many times. But the Son of God's blood had power to take away all the sins, even though it is poured out once. The second point. Christ voluntarily died to bring salvation for all people. When deciding to do any work, Christ and all prudent people consider its effects. These are effects of Christ's sacrifice. First, God's will are fulfilled with our salvation for all people. God does not want people to die, but to live happily and eternally with Him in heaven. Second, Christ is not died forever, but resurrected after 3 days, and He shall be the King of all people. Third, people's sins are forgiven, and they are reconciled with God. They shall not be died forever, but they shall also be resurrected and reach the ultimate goal with a happy and eternal life with the Trinity. Because of the effects, Christ was ready to be incarnated, went through his passion, death, and resurrection. He knows he shall bring good results for his Father, himself, and all the people. Moreover, he knows his suffering are only temporal, but their results shall last forever, as the author writes, so that it is appointed that human being die once, and after this the judgment. So also Christ offer one to take away the sin of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await Him. This must be the lesson for us to follow. Many people complain that if they keep sacrificing, they shall be suffered or died. Christ teaches us that if we have to sacrifice to the point of accepting death to benefit God and others, we also must accept, because death is not the end. God shall give us back our life and reward us what we sacrificed for people. Countless saints poured out their blood or sacrificed their whole life for God and others because they understood Christ's philosophy of life. If a person feared he had to die for others and live selfishly, he still had to face death, and he shall be judged by God according to what he didn't do for others. We only have one life to demonstrate our faith and love for God and others. Let's live a way that benefit God, ourselves, and others. The Gospel. She, from her poverty, had contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. The third point. Do not judge people according to their outside actions. Vietnamese had an adage, the rat does not make one to become a monk. It means to be called a real monk. One must live according to the law of a monk, not only just wearing a monk dress. In today's passage, Jesus displayed bad habits of those who use their religious dresses to earn their profits. Be aware of the scribe who like to go around in long robes and accept greeting in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the house of widows, and at a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation. Though people can deceive naive minds, but cannot deceive God, who know all secret things in their minds, they shall be strictly judged because they misuse of religion for their selfish gain. The second point, judge people according to their inside intention and situation. Christ teaches his disciples not only they should not judge according to worldly standards, but also how to look deep into people's soul through people's contribution in the temple. First, judging according to worldly standards. Many people were deceived and praised those who contributed most money into the money box and conclude that they are generous with God. But Christ warned his disciples not to easily conclude as such, because that might only be the rich superfluous. Second, judging according to God's standards. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. He saw a poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling disciples to himself, he said to them, Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributor to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, had contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. God does not judge according to the amount of money, since he gives each different talent and amount. But he shall judge according to human effort. This is the reason why the Levite laws do not specify how much one Israelite must contribute to the treasury of the temple, but only say it is 10% of one income. For example, if one monthly income is $10,000, he must contribute $1,000 to the temple. If one's monthly income is $1, his contribution shall be 10 cents. The women who mentioned by Jesus put in 2 cents, but hear what Jesus praised her. But she, from her poverty, had contributed all she had. The big difference which Jesus pointed out here is between their superfluous and her whole livelihood. She put in all what she had, though it seemed not much according to human standard. Application in life. Charity demands us to sacrifice to the end, although we must sacrifice our own body. We can do this because we believe that death is not the end, but God will give back our life to us and reward what we have done for others. The perfect example for us to imitate is Christ. He sacrificed by incarnating, preaching, healing, and being nailed to the cross to redeem us. We should imitate him in everything we do in this life. When we must evaluate people, we should not evaluate them according to worldly standards, but must look deep in their inside intention to recognize precious values of their works. Amen.